everyone. Welcome to our conference call today. We're talking about the persuasion of the art of persuasion and influence. Today is April 17th, and a good time to take some notes, submit questions. I know a lot of you are via the internet, of course, submit questions at whypersuasion.com. As we go through the process of becoming better people, better persuaders, and more influential. So let's get into it. Let's talk about a few techniques, some cutting-edge research, things that we're finding out, the world of persuasion and influence. Of course, take your questions via the net or over the phone, however you want to do it. So my goal is to give you a few tools, take your questions, and send you on your way. So one thing that makes a power persuader, as I've studied charisma and influential people, is their ability to tell stories. Now, stories could be on the internet via copywriting, it could be in a seminar, it could be face-to-face. Stories are power. Now, before I get into that, I wanted to kind of talk about something that's interesting also. It's called, well, some call, or I call it, the Napoleon Hill Syndrome, which is very powerful when you're telling stories or want to build credibility. Now, hopefully you know who Napoleon Hill is. Napoleon Hill wrote the book Think and Grow Rich, where he spent 20 years interviewing probably close to 500 different millionaires about what they were doing, what they were thinking, why they were successful, and he wrote the book Think and Grow Rich. Now, the interesting thing, this was all done through Andrew Carnegie, he did this for free for a long time. And he created Think and Grow Rich, which is the standard for personal development. Most people know who he is. And what we have found is that you can borrow credibility by quoting Napoleon Hill. He has sold over 7 million copies of this book. And so what I found, if you're in a seminar or talking to the phone, if you can quote Napoleon Hill or someone they really respect, it actually borrows credibility with what you are doing. 70 million copies. In fact, I use him all the time. As he interviewed millionaires, he wrote Think and Grow Rich. Then every other book he wrote was on persuasion or sales or influence or presentation skills, which is what that's my focus. That's my world. And he said, one of the quotes I'll use, say, like in a seminar setting or if I'm speaking, is Napoleon Hill said, persuasion is the magic ingredient that will help you forge ahead in your profession or business and to achieve happy and lasting relationships. I mean, he calls it the magic ingredient. He has a lot of quotes on how millionaires, they make quick decisions. They don't procrastinate. They don't hem and haw. And if you're an influence, you know people want to wait to make the decision. So if you can mention, well, Napoleon Hill talked about the ability to make quick decisions and put it in your presentation. He talks about, you know, actions, a real measure of intelligence. I mean, I'm not going to go through all his quotes, but if you're looking for some credibility, for something to ring true with one person or an audience, I would Google Napoleon Hill and the type of quote you're looking for, because he's got hundreds of quotes, and I know there's probably one there that will fit your needs and what you're looking for. And that's an interesting aspect. That's a way to borrow credibility, because when you're not very credible and your audience is resisting you, that's one way to do it. Because if Napoleon Hill said it, the person who's almost the godfather of personal development, success, and mindset, then it must be true. And that's the reason that you do that. Another way that to build credibility and to help persuade people I want to focus on today is your ability to tell stories. Realize that in a group situation, you need to balance your stories with your testimonials, with your statistics, but you'll always use more stories. When I've noticed that you always have to use a mix of those. We'll go into the balance of that today, but stories are always going to resonate with 50, 60% of the audience. And as I look at charismatic people, influential people, They tell great stories. And some people are like, well, how hard can it be to tell a story? But, I mean, you have to be great at stories. Because you've heard a story before and you try to retell it, maybe it didn't work out. What influential people do is they tell vivid, spellbinding stories. They captivate and they influence. It comes alive. And then as I interview people after they've been persuaded, they were like listening to a movie. It was like watching a movie. It came alive. Now, I'm not talking about stories don't need to be that long. Short's the way they go, but great. The two top reasons to use a story is it grabs attention. So they're bored out of their mind, and it's like, story. And you know, you've been in an audience before, bored, story. It's so easy to listen to a story. And you need to make them see it, taste it, touch it, feel it. That's what a great story does. And you need to practice doing that. Now, the research shows with stories is not only do they grab attention, they help your audience answer some of their own questions. So if you tell them what to do, they're going to resist. But you see, when you tell a story, they put themselves in the story, and the story persuades them as they persuade themselves. Here's the kicker. Here's the most important thing to learn today. Stories persuade without detection. And that is important to understand because they're persuading themselves. They're in the story. They go from logical to emotional, which we always know is more persuasive. And that's what we need to focus on as a way to do that. Stories also create mental involvement. They simplify complex ideas. And we know that statistically, stories will connect with more people than facts, numbers, examples, or testimonials. So here's the key. Learn that stories will draw your audience in. You need to create relevant stories. Stories also are great to solve objections or solve a question. So when they have a question or objection, now this could be whether you're writing sales copy on the internet or doing a seminar or talking to a group of people. Now remember, if you've listened to the copywriting that I've taught, that a great presentation, a great persuasive presentation, if you take that and convert it into text, that makes incredible sales copy. So great, it's like you're speaking to them personally. That's the same type of way. That's why we do stories. So if there's a place where you know you're going to get a question or objection, have a relevant story of somebody who had the same question, the same objection, and this is what happened, and this is what they found, and this is what they did, and that's why they were successful. And that is something I kind of want you to do this week as you look at your products, your services. Think about the stories that you can use. Now, when you think about stories, you can do stories, you can do one of two things. You can borrow a story, or you can use your own personal story. Now, which one is better? And I guess the answer would be yes. It depends on the situation. You can borrow stories. For example, Chicken Soup for the Soul. I was talking to Mark Victor Hansen, and they send those stories out, and if they don't score 99 out of 100, on average, they don't use them. So every Chicken Soup for the Soul story is gold. So the great thing about borrowing a story is you can borrow a home run story. The other challenge with that, though, is they're harder to tell because you didn't live them. Versus stories that you lived, they're easier to tell, they're more emotional, and the challenge is you might not have a story for that specific situation. So the key is to become a great storyteller. I would start practicing on your children, start learning to describe a restaurant, see if you can persuade people to go there. You could even go to a restaurant and read their menu. I mean, that's great verbal packaging. You can use that to tell a story. But practice when you don't need it. It's a great thing about stories. But it is important. Stories, metaphors, all very powerful. They help you keep common ground. They help you connect with people. And part of it, too, is it demonstrates who you are. So if you tell someone that you're an honest person, they're going to go, well, yeah, right. But if there's a story about when you were honest and did something like that, now they will give that trait to you through the story, because if you tell them, they are going to refute it. They're not going to believe you. So it demonstrates who you are. It could be a funny story. It could be a down-to-earth story. Make sure it's relevant. You're just not telling stories to tell stories. Because when you tell a meaningful story, it does inspire people. And they come to their own conclusion. You don't have to do it through the story. Humans are drawn to anything that gives them answers. They want answers. They want to come up with their own answers. And that's what stories do. So here's a few points, things that enhance your story. So think about stories, the places where you're getting questions or objections. What story can you use? Can you experience one? Are there people that you know that are in the same industry you can borrow that goes along with. I said, life insurance. You know, I could tell them, look, something could happen, something could happen, something could happen. They're like, yeah, yeah, whatever. But the story is someone procrastinated, put it off, accident, family was left destitute. That would be a great story. So here's some factors here. First of all, keep it simple. No more than 3 to 4 points. It doesn't need to be longer than a couple of minutes. Keep it simple. Now, you want to be vivid with your details, obviously. You don't say, I went to the beach. It would be more, oh, I pulled over on Pacific Coast Highway. I rolled down the window, and I smelled the salt air, and I took off my shoes, and I walked on the warm sand, and I could hear the seagulls playing above me, and the surf was crashing on the shore. That's very vivid, very descriptive. And you got to get to the point to where you don't want to go probably 10 minutes on that, but you want to grit the detail because you can trigger emotions, you can trigger fear, you can trigger any type of emotion or feeling with a great story. And this is what they train lawyers to do, very vivid, very descriptive. They don't say, yeah, my client's quadriplegic. No, they make the jury feel it. They'll say something like, can you imagine laying in your bed at home and the sun comes through the window on a beautiful spring day and the sun, you know, strikes you on your legs, and imagine if you couldn't feel the warmth. Fly comes buzzing around and lands on your head and you can't swat it away. Your 5-year-old daughter comes running in and you can't give her a hug. I mean, that's how vivid they are. They tell the story. Now the jury's seeing it. The lawyer can say, oh, it's not fair, it shouldn't happen, but now you've got the emotions of a jury. Also, when you tell stories, be animated, use energy. If it's in front of a group, you can use your body as a prop, you can throw the phone, you're using your voice. Get your body and your voice involved. You could also get your audience to participate. Make them say yes, have them raise their hand, have they had the same experience. Learn to articulate every word and get the emotions involved. That's what you're looking for when we're talking about telling stories. You're creating the image. It's coming alive. Remember what I said earlier? Watching a great persuader is like listening to a movie. It's like watching a movie. It's easy. Because if I'm analyzing your statistics and your graphs and your charts, that takes mental energy. And the brain will do anything to conserve energy. Brain will find that wants the shortest route, and the story's easy. That's easy, dude. It's just happening to me versus analyzing all the facts, figures, statistics, charts that you're trying to go through. So, key is, this is what I want you to do. I want you to start practicing telling stories to people that you meet. It could even be where you ate at a restaurant and describe the food and see if you can get their mouth to water. That's an interesting thing, because if you tell someone to salivate, they can't do it, but if you can do it through a story, opening the fridge and nothing in there, you're hungry, the only thing left is a lemon, and it was just ripe, this yellow lemon, so you cut it in half, and the golden juice kind of squirted onto the counter, and you picked it up, and you took a bite. And you do that in front of a group, a lot of people will salivate, they'll cringe, but you can do that in a story, and when you're descriptive, but you can't do that, say, hey, go ahead and salivate, go ahead and feel hungry, go ahead and feel fear. That doesn't happen unless you describe it vividly with great detail. So another part of it, too, is, you know, the practice, get them to laugh, kind of experience. It could be an embarrassing moment. Learn to what we call paint the picture. Make it come alive. They want to be able to see it, taste it, touch it, feel it. Because if they can't mentally see themselves doing it, it's not going to happen. If they can't see themselves through a visual image, it's not going to happen. Might sound good. That's, for example, network marketing. You know, that's a great stream of income for a lot of people. And the challenge is they tell people, look, you're going to make an extra $5,000 a month, and this is what you do, and here's our marketing plan, and anybody can do it. Still brighter on paper, but if they can't see themselves doing it, if they can't see themselves maybe talking to family, if they can't see themselves getting on the phone and asking for somebody's credit card, it's not going to happen. if you were selling passes to a water park, and it's a great price, a great investment, bring your family, really inexpensive. And they'll say, oh, it's too expensive, I don't have the time. And you know those are lies. I mean, you know they are lies. What could it be? So you're thinking, well, it could be maybe they don't want to be seen in a swimsuit. Maybe they're afraid of the water. Maybe they're afraid of the germs. These are these other issues that get stuck in people's minds. So that is your goal. Get them to be able to see it, taste it, touch it, feel it. And that's what a great story does. It does take practice. It does put you in a situation that you can really grab their attention or get their brainwaves in the right place for persuasion. Anybody thinks you can tell a story, but it's really captivating. They engage, and you can tell in their eyes if you're using the right story. So that's what I want you to do, is just think of some stories. Use them to solve objections. Use them to answer questions. Use them to even inoculate or pre-solve objections before they happen. And that is the power of using stories and Napoleon Hill. And you have to understand mindset. I've got a question that just popped up about a lot about mindset. Let me just kind of package it this way, as far as you have to realize that when you're talking to someone for the first time over the phone or even face-to-face, is people are so skeptical now, they're looking for every reason not to do it, right? But once you give them one or two reasons or give them a great story why it's a good, why they should do it, then they're looking at every reason why it was a good decision. Because the human brain needs to be right. We made the right decision. So once we decide, yes, I'm going to do it, now we're looking for everything that's right. Versus the beginning, we're looking for everything that's wrong. Let me give you a study. This was done up in Canada at a horse racing track. A study done by Knox and Inkster. And what they did was really interesting. And so there's these people waiting in line to place a bet, right? So they interviewed people in line, various questions. And one of the questions was to find out how confident they were in betting on their horse before they placed the bet. Then afterward, they placed a bet. They had a series of more questions, and one of the questions embedded in there was to find out how confident they were in their bet. Now, here's what's interesting. Now, the race hadn't happened yet. This was both of those before the race. So they interviewed them before they made the decision and after they made the decision. And this is what they found. Is after they put the money down, after they made the decision, they were more confident that they had made the right decision. So the sooner you get someone to say yes, to fill out the paperwork, that's important. You don't even let them know everything about your product or service, because if you do, you're vomiting, and you're giving them a couple reasons not to do it. But once they decided to do it, great, let's get going, and you can fill in the blanks later. You can tell more later, because now those are all bonuses. Those are all good reasons that they made a good decision. But if you reveal that ahead of time, too fast, too much for people, then they will not be persuaded. You'll give them a couple of reasons not to do that. Hopefully that answers the question. So that's what I want you to work on. Relevant stories. Go ahead and borrow them. That's fine. I'm okay with that. It's easier to tell ones that you've lived. There's more emotions. And that is part of the package. So that's what we're talking about today. Create it. You've never arrived in this arena. Always collect great stories, and that could even be testimonial, someone who was successful, they tried it, this is what happened. You can see it with infomercials, it's built in with little stories, little vignettes, someone that had your same problem, this is what they found, and now they are more successful, they've lost weight, they're eating lead weight, they're eating better, all that can come into play. With that, go ahead and send your questions via the net or over the phone. Are there any questions, comments, what we talked about today, or things that you're running into? Let me know. Question about borrowing stories. Curtis, can you give us an example of a borrowed story, and is that legal to use? Well, sure, it's, you don't want to borrow a story without giving credit where credit's due. That's important. You want to let you know, I was reading in Chicken Soup for the Soul, fun, and it was this is the author, reveal the name, that's how it works. And so that's fine. You could do that. It's like any other type of thing. You want to give credit where credit's due, and you want an example. Let's see, which one that I use? All right, here's one that I use. So when I talk about self-persuasion or mindset, one of the challenges is science shows that when people are in first and second grade and they're told something about themselves, you'd be told you're smart, dumb, weird, strange, ADD. Doesn't matter what you were told, it becomes an instant belief. And that's the challenge. If it becomes a belief, they don't have the cognitive or mental abilities to refute it. So the story I tell is this. That's a huge roadblock for people. Is they have all these beliefs, they have all these conflicting beliefs, and they don't know it. So they were told money's the root of all evil, but they want to be wealthy, even though it's not true. That might be stuck in their brain because they heard it early in life. So the story I tell is actually out of Australia. Here's the story. This is one that I borrow, which is harder to tell, but I've told it a few times, so I know it. So I was flying over to Singapore, and there was a stop in Hong Kong. I had run out of books to read. I'm an avid reader. And so I was looking in the bookstore, and there was this really skinny book that I probably wouldn't have bought, but it had a really interesting title, so I bought it. And I started reading it. And the author's name was Peter Daniels, and he was kind of telling us his story. He grew up in Australia. His father was in the military, and they moved all the time. And Peter Daniels had dyslexia. And nobody knew it. And, of course, back then you were just labeled as slow or incompetent or unable to learn or stupid even. And that's how he was labeled. And he hated school. Well, obviously, he didn't do well in school. And they moved all the time. So there's 2 months left to first grade. They moved again. And he didn't want to go back, try to convince his father to go back. He said, no, you go to school. That's what you do. You have to go to school. So he went to school, and he had this teacher named Miss Phillips. She made him sit in the back. And you take the worst teacher you've ever had, multiply it by 10, that's Miss Phillips. I mean, just a mean teacher. She'd yell at him. She'd strike them. She'd strike them, actually, and even berate him. Just a terrible person. So towards the end of the day, Miss Phillips was handing out tests and handed a test to Peter Daniels. It had a big red F. And he was embarrassed. He turned it over. I mean, it was big. And he just sat there wanting class to be over. And Miss Phillips went in front of the class and said, class, Peter Daniels failed another class. In fact, Peter, come to the front. He looked around. She's all, now. And she walked to the front, grabbed his arm, turned him around, said, class, it's Peter Daniels. He's failed a test. He'll probably be a failure his whole life. Probably shouldn't be his friend. You probably shouldn't talk to him. Like, wow. She probably should be shot. I don't know what her motives were, but wow, she just destroyed a life because at that age, you can't refute it. That became an instant belief. And guess what happened to him? He did. He failed out of school. He tried this failure, tried this failure, tried that failure. And then he decided to get in his own business, wanted to do some real estate, told his family and friends. Of course, they all spit on his dreams, told him not to do it, just because friends judge us on our past history, not our future potential. And he became very successful. Actually became a billionaire with a B. Very, very successful. And he retired early, and decided to write the book. And he wrote this book. And the title of this book was Miss Phillips, You Were Wrong. You Were Wrong. And I just say, you know, we all have a Miss Phillips in our life, and we all have a book to write. So that's an example of a story that I borrow. I try to, you know, that we can all put ourselves in that situation that I told that. You probably went back. You probably remembered a bad teacher. You probably felt bad for Peter Daniels. You probably felt a lot of those emotions before. You've had people spit on your dreams before, and that's the power of stories. I could have told you, hey, well, don't believe that, or don't. But the story makes it power. So that's the example of a borrowed story. Any other questions? Well, the phone via the net. I've got one about Napoleon Hill. We talked earlier about Napoleon Hill. When was the, I don't know, as about Think and Grow Rich. The book title was Think and Grow Rich, and he's written a lot of other books, but that's the one that's the most popular, 70 million copies. As far as the quotes, there's a lot of, I'm not going to recommend one quote site. Just Google the type of quote Napoleon Hill and put in persuasion or put in, he even talks about OPM using other people's money. He talks about a lot about giving back to charity. He talks a lot about procrastination, making the decisions soon. So a lot about service. So I'd probably plug that in and see what you pull up, because I know there's a lot of quotes on there. But I know there's not one specific quote site that I know I'd recommend. I mean, there's a lot of them out there that you could. So I just Google the type of quote that you wanted. Any other questions? Want to hear about how do I know when it's time to shut up and ask for their business? Well, that's probably, we should do that on a webinar. But the main thing you're looking for as you get in that mode is with buying signals, is what we call them. Now, a couple different things. If there's someone there, they get approving glances between partners. If they say, well, can we get it delivered next week? You're done. You don't need to keep going with features and benefits. They say, can we get it in green? Can you tell me more about the warranty? Is this available in Canada? Done, done, done. You can seal the deal and fill in the blanks later. So you can hear a lot of those things over the phone or face-to-face. So when they're asking something, you know, can I get it in green? It says, well, is the green you're looking for? Well, yes. Okay, well, let's get started. Do you need it shipped this week? Well, yes. You always answer that with a question. So when you can hear that over the phone or face-to-face, you can kind of get a feel for when they're ready to do it. But people get stuck in that zone where they got to finish the presentation, they got to keep talking, and hoping something sticks versus really reading their body language. A lot of times you'll get kind of an up-and-down movement if you watch them. You might see them, a lot of times they'll lean closer to you. They respond to you a lot easier. Those are things that you can look for. And sometimes you might see them relax a little bit, like, oh, they quit resisting. And, yeah, this is a great offer, let's do it, are things you're looking for. Just kind of in a quick nutshell of things you're looking for to answer your questions. Any other questions? Well, the phone, event, let me know. You can also ask your questions at whypersuasion.com. That's also the spot we'll be posting the replay for this call. It takes about 24 hours. You'll be able to listen to it or even download it. We're looking to upgrade it, hopefully, and I don't know the exact timeline, to more of a webinar format so we can be a little more visual and we're able to do that. So also, White Persuasion, if I get stuck in an airplane or something weird happens, we'll post recordings or replays there to let you know what's going on. But take what you've learned today. Remember the homework. Find those stories that will solve the questions and solve those objections before they happen or as they happen. Man, that's a big one. This is what's going to resonate with most people, is a great story that resonates with them. So that's our call for today. That's something to apply and to use. Remember, whypersuasion.com is a place to go. And we'll talk to you next week. Good night, everyone.